Welcome to Hungry Dads, your guided tour through the delicate and often overwhelming balancing act between food indulgences and social acceptance. And now, as always, here are your hosts, Rod Budget and Hugh Gallen.
Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen. And tonight we are very excited to introduce you to a guest, and actually not just a guest, a new regular co-host here on the Hungry Dads podcast. His name is Podbot 3000. He's the latest technology in podcast hosting. Say hello to the Podbot 3000.
I am Podbot 3000. I am programmed to discuss topics for the enjoyment of podcast listeners. You have programmed me to discuss food.
We are really happy to have you, Podbot.
Hello, Rod. Hello, Hugh. I am excited to be here with you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Podbot.
I am Podbot 3000. I am programmed to discuss topics for the enjoyment of podcast listeners. You have programmed me to discuss food.
Okay, great. Podbot, what else can you tell us? What else do you do?
I speak over 6,500 languages, including English, as you can tell. Haha.
Podbot, wow. He's got a little personality there. I like that.
That's great. Do you speak German?
Geschmackvolle Töne. Ich würde hassen, es auf der Couch zu verschütten dennoch.
That was German for yes. You stupid bag of flesh. Haha.
Okay, that's great.
Ooh, wow. All right.
Well, that's perfect, because today is Snacktoberfest. Here on Snacktoberfest, we are going to celebrate Oktoberfest in our own way with snack reviews. We've actually, as you heard last week, we have dedicated the month of October to putting a snack review on our website every day for the month of October. We just want to share some of those reviews, some of our favorite reviews with you here tonight. Does that sound good to you, Podbot?
You are the boss.
Snacktoberfest. Rod, why don't you take it away with the first review?
Okay, I'm going to start with Cinnamon Toast Crunch Milk and Cereal Bars. In a world of absurd snack ideas, extreme products, and odd partnerships, I find cereal and milk bars to be perhaps the most laughable. Not in a bad way, but at what point did we decide it was plausible to condense a food that requires liquid and a bowl down into a bar? I was very curious to try Cinnamon Toast Crunch's entry into the bar category, mainly because it's one of my favorite cereals of all time, as our listeners know from episode 19. As importantly, though, what was this milk thing all about? The bar itself was a thick layer of compacted Cinnamon Toast Crunch with a thin layer of white frosting-type substance in the middle. Not surprisingly, the bar was very, very sweet, and even more sweet than I expected. The Toast Crunch flavor was very subtle, though, and somewhat overshadowed by the sheer sugar sweetness. The milk filling was delicious, kind of like Oreo filling, but slightly fluffier, but nothing like milk, of course. I was left wanting more of the filling, though. It was also kind of lost in the sheer sugary sweetness of the overall Toast Crunch bar. So in summation, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Milk and Cereal Bar was a delicious cereal bar. Did it taste much like Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Not really. It was just a sugar explosion, the way breakfast should be.
Zimtfarbige Toastknirschen Milch und Getreidebars. Ich würde es versuchen. Obwohl sein wahrscheinlich gerade das Zeug sie von des Fabrikraums alles Zerkautes zusammen aufkehren.
Wahlburgers out of Dorchester Burger. I've heard some buzz about the burger joint Wahlburgers on account of the restaurant-based reality show of the same name, featuring those famous brothers, Donnie and Mark, joining with their less famous chef brother, Paul Wahlberg. Where I live, there was no biz about the Wahlburger at all. One opened up on Coney Island, and my family happened to pass it. So I decided to implement a, quote, burger as a snack strategy under the premise that it would be good for my podcast. This is a new food excuse my wife is getting tired of hearing. I tried the $8 OFD, or Out of Dorchester Burger, a specialty burger with Swiss cheese, bacon, mushrooms, and, quote, homemade tomato jam. It was not greasy, which is probably a positive or a negative, depending on your preference. The burger was definitely tasty, but it didn't explode with flavor or juices like some of my favorite burgers. The bun wasn't particularly soft or tasty. My gold standard in buns is the potato bread bun, Wahlburgers bun was pretty weak compared to my beloved potato bun. The tomato jam was basically just marinara sauce. It was fine, but it made me realize that I prefer ketchup. On the other hand, yummy ketchup is full of sugar and preservatives. So maybe this tomato jam is a better alternative. I didn't feel bloated or remorseful after I ate the OFD burger, which is more than I can say for many burger joints. Perhaps the Wahlburger is an effort to offer a burger for the responsible burger lover that's natural, wholesome, healthy-ish, and still tastes good. I'd say they succeeded, even if the price is high and my much-beloved greasy burger flavor was sacrificed.
Der Verfeignung von Wahlburgers. Tomatestau klingt groß. Ich wette es Gedanke von Mark Feilberg daran.
Mountain Dew Voltage. This is a big review for your friend Rod Budget. I realize Voltage has been around for quite a while, but as I've proclaimed on the show several times, I'm a devout Mountain Dew original enthusiast. Okay, addict. As such, I've never ventured into the fringe Dew brightly colored extreme flavors until now. Part of my hesitancy was that I love original Dew so much, there's really no point in straying. Nothing could possibly top the original, right? Right. Voltage was enjoyable enough, but the subtle blueberry flavor left an artificial aftertaste in my mouth, kind of like diet soda. This shouldn't be surprising given just how artificial and bright blue the beverage is, but here's the beauty of the original Dew. Sure, it's bright greenish-yellow, but in reality it's just sugar and orange juice, and that's what it tastes like. Sugar with a hint of citrus. And perhaps a smidge of alien urine to get that nice green glow. Voltage wasn't bad by any means, it just left a weird aftertaste, and I'm inherently biased against anything other than the original Dew.
Hervorragende MT-Tauschstromspannung. Orangensaft-Termin waren sehen stark für 2016 aus.
Podbot, bringing a whole new excitement to the Hungry Dad's podcast. McClure's Bloody Mary flavored potato chips. I'm not sure I've ever had a Bloody Mary, and I'm not keen to try one. The alcohol plus tomato mixture never made much sense to me. I tend to feel that tomato is best as a condiment or a sauce, not as a drink. Although admittedly, the Bloody Mary is likely the only thing that'll get you drunk while simultaneously providing you with some essential veggies, vitamins, and minerals. But replace vodka with a potato, and I'm willing to entertain Bloody Mary's flavor on a chip. But thinking about it, isn't vodka just distilled potato? It's a shame vodka doesn't taste like liquid potato chips. That would be something. But on to McClure's Bloody Mary flavored potato chips. They're kettle cooked, by the way, and they're quite tasty. I'd love to hear from a Bloody Mary aficionado to learn if the chip bears any resemblance to its namesake. My guess is that it does not. The chips are red and have a base flavor that passes as tomato. There might be some paprika and Worcestershire flavor in there.
It's pronounced Worcestershire.
But all the flavors are largely masked by a spicy kick intended to represent the horseradish and Tabasco sauce required in a proper Bloody Mary. The next flavor I tasted in the chip was garlic, which, according to the internet, isn't unheard of for a classic Bloody Mary, but it's hardly a staple. The chip ignored some standard ingredients, completely lacking in any alcohol, lemon, or lime flavor. I suppose that's a good thing, but it would have been fun and interesting as a stunt to have those flavors tossed in, since it is called a Bloody Mary flavored potato chip. McClure's made a tasty chip. But as is the trend lately, they seem to rely on gimmick naming and packaging to qualify themselves as offering a unique, fun new flavor. Probably as a way to get themselves apart from the pack and get a dude like me to give them a try. It worked. The chips were good. I'd get them again. Mostly thanks to the fact that they don't seem to actually taste like a Bloody Mary.
Der Bloody Mary von Clure schmackhafte Chips. Ich würde eine Wagenladung von denjenigen essen. Ich bin völlig betrunken.
I'm not a big candy corn fan. Don't like the waxy texture, the sugar is a tad too in my face, and they're generally just kind of weird. I'm also not a big fan of gimmick holiday flavors. Pumpkin spice tacos, everyone. So I was less than optimistic about tearing open these candy corn M&Ms. The individual M's had the shape and mass of peanut butter M's, which was encouraging. I like that size. Bulkier than the original M's, but not as large as their peanut-flavored brothers. I bit into one and was hit with a pleasant flavor that tasted vaguely of candy corn, but primarily of white chocolate, which I love. Further inspection of the packaging revealed a small white description before the word candy corn. So that's right, these are essentially white chocolate M&Ms, and they are delicious. Similar to actual candy corns, the candy corn flavor got lost after the first few pieces, which made them even better. If you're a white chocolate fan, check these out.
In das Süßigkeitengetreide der M wussten sie, dass in den 80er Jahren sie rote M und Frau unterbrachen, weil, wie man glaubte, das Färben giftig war.
TGI Friday's Popcorn Sweet and Smoky Chicken in the grocer's freezer case. We here at Hungry Dads love telling you which snacks are worth it and which ones are not worth it. Because let's face it, our loving wives, tightened budgets, and aging bodies put some natural limits on how much junk food we can or should intake. Now, most everything junk food related is tasty enough. That's why finding a bad one is perhaps even more important than finding a good one. Seldom do we out and out tell our listeners to avoid something. After all, how could processed fried salt, meat, flour, and sugar go wrong from a taste standpoint? Well, it can in the form of TGI Friday's popcorn chicken. This popcorn chicken, putting that in quotes, was bad. After trying one, I threw away almost all of it. And that's saying something coming from me. How are these so revolting, you ask? From the outside, they look pretty excellent. A ping pong ball sized clump of fried breading covered in a sweet, spicy sauce. But upon first bite, I learned that there was almost no chicken inside. I know what you're thinking. That doesn't even make sense. I agree. I was confused. I got a little clarity when I saw the subdescription on the packaging, which said that it was a white meat chicken fritter. So wait, is this a fritter or is it popcorn chicken? If there was no chicken inside, then what was inside? Well, inside each fritter was air. Yes, empty air. And a mouthful of piping hot, overbearing barbecue sauce. I love barbecue sauce, but I don't drink the stuff. I thought the first one must have been defective, like those Whoppers malted milk balls that have the malt inside all melted and gooey. Those are actually the best ones. So for the popcorn chicken, I tried another one. The second one, same thing. Third, same. I finally cut them all open and found an odd thin layer of processed chicken encompassing the steamy void just inside the layer of the crust.
That's my favorite line on Hungry Dad so far, by the way.
With the press of a fork, each one burst open with a pungent blop of sauce waiting inside. I suppose it's possible that I got a defective box, but I'm not giving TGI Friday's Popcorn Chicken Sweet and Smoky a second chance. It's over.
TGI Freitags Popcorn Huhn. Schwirren Gestank ist der populärste Zuschauersport in Kanada und ist verwendet worden, um Wahlen für den ihren Premierminister zu entscheiden.
Veggie Straws. Is it just me, or are we in the midst of a full-fledged veggie straws craze? I see these things everywhere. Parties, grocery stores, gas stations, my nightmares. Admittedly, I've avoided the craze due to the whole veggie thing, but I finally gave in recently. Here's the verdict. They're good. Quite airy, crunchy, and with a nice amount of salt. The various veggie colors all taste the same, which, in my opinion, is a good thing. However, not to burst everyone's veggie bubbles, but these things aren't much healthier than potato chips. I looked. The marketing gurus are using some snappy veggie wording coupled with minute traces of carrot dust to create a healthy option. This isn't crackling oat sham level of deception, but it's devious for sure. Nonetheless, they taste pretty good. I could eat about 3,000 without getting stuffed, and they make me look responsible to the masses out there. That's enough to make it into my snacking repertoire.
Veggie Strohe sind sie ein Watsche des Idiotenrot. Sie sind kein Mark Wahlberg. Dieser Kerl hat es weitergehend.
The Captain America Ring Pop. I did not eat the Captain America Ring Pop. It was a treat in my 4-year-old daughter's take-home goodie bag from a kid's birthday party. The Captain America Ring Pop was a source of much conversation all day, since it was being saved for after dinner, on the grounds that my daughter was a good girl all day. At first, I was secretly hoping she'd be bad, so I could have the ring pop to myself. But I calculated that rooting against your own kid so you could have a sugary superhero-shaped treat was just not cool. While I didn't taste the Captain America Ring Pop, I will review its appearance and functionality. Before being eaten, it looked like Captain America if he were a zombie who got melted in a furnace, or maybe after a night out with Dave Attell and a bottle of Jägermeister. After being eaten, it looked like that piece of amber with a mosquito in it from Jurassic Park. The concept of repeatedly licking Captain America's misshapen head and slowly erasing his costume and physical characteristics has to be symbolic of something. I'm not too political, so I don't know what. The horrors of capitalism? The ravages of war? The fact that I got wedgied every day in high school because I liked comics, and now suddenly comic characters are the coolest thing in the world? It's unfair, I tell you. It's just unfair. Oh, and how did it taste? I didn't eat it, but my daughter said it was really, 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 really yummy.
Kapitän Ringknall von Amerika. Dieser Ringknall klingt interessant. Jägermeister war der Name meines Vaters.
Russell Stover, Great Pumpkin. When I think of Russ Stover, my mind immediately goes to Easter, and more specifically generic chocolate Easter treats that may or may not be shaped like a bunny. Come to find out, Russ Stover is also a major player in the darker pagan holidays. I applaud his diversity and was intrigued enough to check out Mr. Stover's Great Pumpkin, milk chocolate with caramel filling. According to the package, the Great Pumpkin is 2 times larger than what I can only assume is the Russ Stover mediocre pumpkin, or perhaps their big wuss pumpkin offering. Upon opening the wrapper, I kind of expected to see some sort of pumpkin shape or design. Nope. Not even a token chocolate stem, just a large slab of chocolate, with presumably a layer of caramel in there somewhere. What the Great Pumpkin lacked in appearance, it made up for in taste, which was a pleasant surprise. The chocolate was good, seemed to be of higher quality than the average candy bar. The caramel was sweet and seemingly fresh. Most importantly, the caramel-to-chocolate ratio was perfect. This is an often overlooked aspect in the candy world, but it's rare to find that perfect balance of flavors. And yes, it was a large, generous portion of pumpkin. And by pumpkin, I mean slab of chocolate filled with caramel, the way all pumpkins should be.
Russell Stover, großer Kürbis. Was für der Kerl? Hängen Sie lose. Ich pflegte, mit einem Kürbis zu surfen.
Old Wisconsin, smokestack beef and cheese. This Carl Budding brand, lunch meat-owned sausage product was new to me, which is saying something since I tend to have a keen awareness of meat snack products. After some internet searching and a taste test, I've learned that Old Wisconsin has been around since the 80s and offers a spicy kick. The meaty beef stick was tasty and superior to the industry standard Slim Jim. The cheese, however, was not outstanding, being a bit grainy and lacking the smoothness of my ideal processed cheese, Velveeta. Granted, this was a non-refrigerated cheese, so I didn't expect much more. Did I eat all of it? Heck yes, I did. It's cheese. I shouldn't complain about the cheese, though. It was essentially a free bonus. A comparable cheeseless beef stick was only 20 cents cheaper. This net weight bonus drove me to try this new brand, and I'm glad I did.
Alter Wisconsin Rauchstapel Rindfleischkäse. Ich werde auf meinen Nettogewicht Bonus warten. Ich und werde es in Fleisch nicht nehmen.
Hungry Dads! Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
The concept of repeatedly licking Captain America's misshapen... Boy, is that bad? No, it's just what it is. I mean, come on, people. Yeah, grow up.
Come on.
The concept of repeatedly licking...
All right, I'm done. You're not going to be able to get through it, though.
I'm done. I can do it.